Welcome to Secret to My Success. You're going to hear fascinating stories from the people and personalities who found their success in business and in life. Now here's your host, Alan Bornstein.
Good day, this is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with my buddy, Dawn.
Alan.
Dawn, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Yeah?
Yes. Yep.
Lousy weather, though, huh?
Oh, it's not bad. I don't mind it, actually.
You like rain?
I like a little change, actually.
You do?
Sunshine every day is great, but it's nice to have a little, you know, stimulation to the mind, a little change once in a while.
My daughter did a report once when she was a kid, and it was called, If It Doesn't Rain, You Can Never Have a Rainbow. Yes. So, yes, you need a change.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Appreciate the good with the bad with the good.
Exactly.
That's it.
You need dark to know light, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It seems a little heavy today, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Everything else all right? How's the little one?
Good. Had a experience over the past couple days. So, I don't know. Something
you could talk about on the air?
Well, a little bit, yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to take up all the time either, but my son's girlfriend was pregnant. So she had the baby. Well, she had the baby at my house, which I wasn't aware of that was going to be her plan to do a home birth.
So she planned on having this kid at your house and didn't tell you?
Yeah, she's only been there a short period of time, and she it wasn't a plan that she was even going to be there. It just kind of happened, you know, whatever, series of events, life. And, you know, in the past, my son had said, oh, well, you know, she wants to do a home birth. But I'm like, I just assume you're going to go to the hospital, you know?
Yeah, not that home.
I just assume you're going to go to the hospital. That's, what do I know, you know?
So did you cut the umbilical cord?
No. I mean, there's like so much more to the story. Like, I was freaking out. Like, I mean, mentally, I was like, in my head, I'm freaking out. And I was trying to stay calm on the outside. I wasn't there when the baby came out, but
hallelujah.
I just kept checking on her. My son's not there. He was on the phone with her, and then he was on the video, whatever, and it was crazy experience. Like, I'm like, I can't even believe this is happening. I just stepped out of the twilight zone.
As soon as that kid was born, did she come to you and say, hey, Dawn, can I have a beer?
No, I wanted to go drink, though.
Right?
No. I mean, the baby's fine. She's fine. And again, there's like, I could go on, but.
Are they leaving this one for you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the excitement. Not last night. The night before, right? Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I would have sent some flowers or candy or something.
Oh, you still can.
Okay.
It's not too late.
I got your address. I'll hook you up. Yes. Well, we have an incredible guest. We have, and I'm going to butcher her last name, Laura Fenicchia.
No, you got it perfectly right.
Good.
It's Fenicchia.
Yes.
Not Fenicia.
No. Maybe way back when.
You know, so years and years ago, my grandfather came over, and he's at Ellis Island, and they think they pronounced his name, and he said present, and they said bingo, and they changed his name to Brazant.
Okay.
Right? Because they were changing all kinds of names. So tell me your background. Where's your family from?
They're from, well, my dad's family's from Italy.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and his mom's last name's Benedetto, so, you know.
That's a little Italian.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That too, yeah.
Okay. So. Have you ever been?
No, I've never.
You've never been
there?
No, Italy?
My brother and his wife have a house there, but I've never been there. You know, I work a million hours. I never go.
What's the deal? You need
I
to go.
I need to go on.
I'm right, and you have a place you could even stay.
For sure.
I'll be your travel buddy. How's that? That's like my bucket list stuff.
I know. I need companionship on the travel.
I might even pay for the trip.
I'm in, yes.
I might even fund the whole thing. That sounds like way too much fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You have it.
It's a plan.
So did mom and dad teach you how to cook?
Oh, my grandmother, actually.
Your grandmother?
Yeah.
So you're a good Italian cook?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was peeling shrimp when I was three at the countertops. They tell me these stories. I remember it, but, you know, I was always interested in cooking for sure.
I was adopted by an Italian family called the Capaccios, and they taught me how to make pizza.
That's the we interviewed them, right?
Yes.
They have the...
Mm-hmm. Right, they do the sauce.
They do the sauce, yeah.
Right. So they taught me how to make pizzas, and the old man took all the pride in showing me this is what the good pepperoni looks like, and this is a lousy pepperoni,
and
this
good
is
cheese.
Good mozzarella,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Showed me all that.
Yeah.
So you've been into food since you were a little kid.
Yes, into the food scene the whole time.
Okay.
I used to stay home from school. My mom would say, can you make some food for my friends who are coming over? So I would stay home and cook. So cooking, I mean, even whenever I was young, I had an apartment. I made spaghetti meatballs, and I sold it out of the back of my apartment. I just was cooking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So lots of stuff.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, in Jersey.
I love The Sopranos.
Okay. What part of Jersey?
I grew up in like a rural part of New Jersey. It's called Tewksbury, and it's in Hunterdon County. It's very, we were in the woods. Like, we were just run around the neighborhoods. It wasn't like the city. People think, oh, Newark or whatever, but it wasn't that. It was very, very, very fun, very nice. We had like all the neighbors over when it was like summer. We had big parties. It was a lot of fun.
So I'm a Jewish guy, and I've always said the Italians are just like the Jewish people. It's the same. It's always about the family. It's about the food. And we go to the top, and you guys celebrate the metal man, his son. Otherwise, it's the same to be an Italian. Like I said, the Italians adopted me. It's kind of cute. So you owned your own restaurant.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
That's funny. I just worked as a chef in the business, and I started putting some ideas in a shoebox and this and that, whatever. And then there was a space that was available, so I looked into it, and it wound up where I didn't actually take that space, but I took another space. And the guy that helped me, or the guy who owned the building, he just said, I don't know why I'm going to let you do this, but I'm going to let you open this place, because I had a business plan. I had my menus. I had everything together. So he was kind of, I just sold it to him, I guess. And he was like, I'm just going to let you do that.
So you had worked in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Family restaurant?
No. Just, okay. I worked just under other chefs as apprentice. I worked in different places, and I just thought, you know, after, I mean, I worked in the business when it was like mostly all men. So I would just work really, really hard, and they would try to make me not succeed, and I would just succeed because I was like,
could you imagine a man doing that?
No, ever. Dawn? Never, never, never.
You didn't hear that, did you?
No, I missed it. Well, I was looking at the audio. I'm sorry.
Back then, they had their thing, you know, and it was like, I was a short, small girl, and it was like, get out, you know? So, but I was like, nope, I'm going to get better. And
I
so
heard like the man's world, right? It's a time when there was, yeah.
It was that time.
Right.
You know, now it's a lot different, which is super cool. But I definitely came up through the business that way, and it was good. I'm glad that I had a hard time coming through the business, because it taught me a lot. And so that when I was a restaurant owner, I was going to work really hard to make sure that worked. And I opened it up a long time ago, and it's still there. So that's amazing.
What kind of restaurant?
It's a made from scratch, just fresh food. I don't know. It's like lunch and dinner, but it's everything. You can eat it every day. Like, we didn't have a fryer. So it was, we made pizza there. And we also used that dough to make sandwiches fresh. So we would make the bread. Whenever we made the sandwiches, we made everything from scratch and just, it was just fun and all.
So kind of an Italian.
You still have that place then? You still have it?
I don't. I sold it, but
it's still there in existence.
It's still there.
Awesome. What was the name of the restaurant?
Saturn Grill. It's in Oklahoma City.
How'd you come up with that name?
Because, okay, there's a revolving door there, but I used to work in that same space. But Starbucks took the end cap, and there was one little space left with the revolving door, and I was like, it's just a circular motion, it's like Saturn rings, whatever, I'm just gonna call it Saturn Grill. I don't know why, but that's just what popped in my head, so that's how I did it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What was there before you had taken it over?
A restaurant that I did work in.
Okay.
So that was called the Ground Floor Cafe, and that had the whole thing, that and where Starbucks was. So whenever I didn't take that space that I was going to take, I said, let's just go sit at Starbucks. I had a friend of mine. And when I sat there, I was like, Starbucks didn't take this whole space. And I know this clientele. I worked right here. So then that's when I contacted the landlord and I asked about it. And so I think they landed their big fish with Starbucks, so they gave me a chance.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. Did Starbucks drive traffic for you?
Yes. And it was great because they have traffic at different times that I did. Because, you know, early morning when we weren't open. And then it was us for lunch, and then it was them for, like, afternoon, and then it was us for dinner, and it was them for after dinner. I mean, it was just, we had our whole, we were busy, like, right there all the time.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
So what made you sell? You said how long did you do it before you sold?
I did it only a short period of time. I did it for, like, 3 years. But another colleague of mine wanted to buy the restaurant, and I was like, okay, you know, I can do that. So I sold it to him, and he wanted to, like, spin off a bunch of restaurants. And I was like, Joseph, this is really hard. I'm just telling you, you might want to just dig in for a minute and
learn
see how
it before
goes.
You decide, right?
So he did wind up spinning off a few, but then he wound up dialing back. And so he still has that one restaurant. So it's cool.
So what'd you do after that?
Okay, so after that, oh my goodness, I worked for a celebrity in their home, and I also worked as the executive chef in the University of Oklahoma. So I did a couple other fun, cool things that I shouldn't have ever been able to do, but it was just amazing. So that's why I don't know. I just fell into it, so it was kind
of
cool.
Okay, of all the jobs you've had, which one did you like the most?
Oh, gosh, that's really hard. I loved working for the celebrity that I worked for, which was awesome.
Are you allowed to tell us who it was?
I can tell you, I guess. It was Toby Keith, which is cool. It's hard to talk about now because he just passed away.
Yeah.
His family's amazing. It was so much fun. I got to do just everything and anything and, you know, meet cool people that would come to the house, do cool events, just...
Did you live in there?
No, I okay. didn't. I just worked there. I'd come in and cook and any events that they would have, I would do it. If he sold a $20,000 like dinner for a charity event, I would cook it. I was like, this is crazy, right? I mean, it was. It was a lot of fun and I enjoyed their family. That was a really great time. So...
And how long did you do that?
7 years.
So what made you get up from that?
Well,
or they
you
got
know,
tired of your cooking?
There's seasons for everything. And right. they had, you know, they do a lot of stuff. And they had a younger son at the time. And he got into high school. And, you know, it got a little. They went their ways doing things, you know.
Differently
with
or
Toby.
Something.
Yeah. yeah, doing things, all these things. So, yeah. So I just.
Did you travel with him?
Yeah, that was really, really fun. Flying in the plane was super cool because I mean, when you fly in a private jet,
so yeah,
it's like, okay, you guys ready? Sit down, let's go. I mean, it wasn't like, okay, here's all the official, I'll put the mask on. You know, you didn't get all that commercial airline like garb, whatever. And I was like, this is cool. Everybody's just hanging out, like it's in your living room, and we're just gonna take off right now.
Wow,
go to Colorado.
That's cool. Yeah,
you couldn't talk him into going to Italy.
I don't know, maybe.
Right? You could have said, hey, we should do a show.
He was the most amazing man. Really, really amazing. Really. He was probably one of the best bosses I ever had. He had my back more than anybody else. For nice. Sure.
That's awesome. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So.
So you left there.
Yes. I worked at the University of Oklahoma, too, as an executive chef, which was a great job as well. And I don't know. It's just
when were you in
fun.
Oklahoma?
I lived in Oklahoma for a long, long time from, oh my goodness, for probably 25 years.
Were you there with the bombing?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I worked in the Ground Floor Cafe, which turned into being the space that I had for my restaurant. But it was the craziest thing because I was in – that's only a couple miles away from downtown. So I was in the office, and I was like, what? It felt like a safe fell, like a solid mass item fell off of a counter or something and slammed into the ground because I was like, that was wow. a crazy sound I have never heard in my life. The cabinet doors like slammed like boom, boom, boom. Like it was just tremors that were keeping on going through the building. And I was like, this is crazy. So I ran out to the front of the restaurant and I looked onto we have TVs there, you know, and so always the news is on or whatever. And I was like, what the heck was that? So we were watching the news and we could see the building, like, and what had happened. And this man, this was so awful. He was sitting in the restaurant and he walked straight up to the television and he pointed straight up onto the screen and he said, that's my best friend's building. That's my best friend's office right there. And I was like, wow. The tears. I mean, that was a crazy experience. We did a lot of charity work for that, giving away, you know, lunches and different things. And that was really healing. I mean, I would see people coming up giving like their piggy banks, little kids giving money like to the people. It was the community came together like you would not believe for that event. I mean, for that, you know, terrible incident. It was really, really, really amazing to see that whole community come together with that. But it was a horrible thing.
I remember watching it on TV and it just feels like it's in a different world, you know, yeah. because we could see all this stuff. But I think a lot of people were disappointed that it was actually somebody from the United States that did it. You know, you were actually almost thinking it would have been better being a terrorist.
For sure. Then you can be like, well, you know, they're crazy or whatever. But yeah, it's hard when it's your own. But driving by there at night was really creepy too because it's weird when you see something on TV when it's real. I mean, because going by it as a real person and hearing like the metal swinging in the wind, like the ominous like sounding things that are there when it's just done. And you're like, oh, you know, it just,
very
the things,
eerie.
Yeah, just like it's this crazy thing. It's bad, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you leave Oklahoma City.
Yes.
And where do you go?
I guess I got here like 7 or 8 years ago, almost 8 years ago. And so here was great because I worked in Melbourne for a while. I worked in downtown Melbourne. I actually, too, okay, I'll have to back up a tiny bit if you have time. I worked in as a substitute teacher a lot because I like always working in a school. I love teaching kids. So when you own a business, you're like the top. So nobody can tell you anything. Whatever, it's not crazy. It's not great, but so I like to be in a place where somebody's going to trick me, and I'm going to be like someone's going to say, oh, this or that, and I have to be in a different position. It kind of gives me a mix of what I need in my life. So. That's how I got the job with Toby, actually, because I subbed in his son's school, but I didn't know I was doing that. But anyway, subbing, I did.
So Toby walks in and says, hey, you're a substitute teacher for my son. How'd you like to come to my house and work and make me food?
Actually, his wife had just fired the chef, and I worked in the school because I got the job because I worked there on a snowy day kind of deal, and they remembered me, so they gave me a job as like a permanent, you know, IA or instructional assistant. And I didn't know I was working in his son's classroom. I had no idea. So, one of the teachers said, when Tricia said, we just fired our chef. We don't know what we're going to do. And she goes, well, we have a chef working here. And then she's like, what are you talking about? So that's how I got the interview. Nice.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, it's neat. All dot connecting. It's all, everything's like dot connecting.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's cool. But so I worked as an instructional assistant in Florida, too, before I started working in restaurants over here, because I loved doing that, and I loved working with kids with special needs. And so that was a big deal for me to do. I love it. They're authentic. You know, they are who they are, and you just get to hang with them all day and bridge a gap between, like, gen ed kids and special ed kids. It's great. So
here you are. Yeah. Now you're no longer a substitute teacher.
No.
And I don't know how you enjoyed that, because I've gone into classrooms multiple times and I...
It's fun.
Don, real quick story. I go in there and we're doing this NSVP, National School Volunteer Partnership Program. Mm-hmm. And I am 20 years old and I'm paying for class trips for these kids to go on. And they want to go to a bar. Of course, they want to go to a bar.
Yeah.
So I took him to a bar, and this kid wouldn't shut up. This kid was just going on and on. I'm like, dude, you're embarrassing me. I mean, I got my company name, my reputation. I need you to sit down. And he wouldn't. I said to the teacher, I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to have a moment with him. She's like, okay. And I grabbed the kid, took him to the coat room. I threw him up against the wall, and I said, one more word, you're going to find my fist to about my elbow down your throat. I'm done.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And he came back, and he was as sweet as pie, and the teacher says, I don't know what you said, but that was wonderful. Could you tell me? I'm like, I'd rather not share it with you.
Yeah, right?
But, yeah, you can't do that anymore. So, yes, here you're a substitute. Were they middle school kids, high school?
It was high school. I like high school kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I see them in the restaurants.
Okay, so you liked them so much you got out of it.
Well, it's hard to make a living in just doing that.
Correct.
So I went back to doing restaurant work. And then I worked in downtown Melbourne at Crush 11 as the general manager there.
Have you heard of that place?
No.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So
it's
general manager, Crush 11, and now you are here. You're down in Del Rey.
Yeah, I'm in Boca, but yes.
In Boca, I'm sorry. The food was really good.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, the food was really good. Staff was super nice.
Yeah, it's like a family.
Right?
It's fun. That's.
But you're working with a bunch of 18 and 19-year-old kids.
Yeah, but you can mentor them. You can just, like, even if it's not going to be their job forever, they need to, like, not wait till they get their dream job to do a good job. They have to do a good job now and get their base. And so you get to teach people stuff. And I think they can take it with them. I know it's transferable, so that's why. It's fun.
So I noticed on your bills, your receipts, that you guys are charging an 18% service charge.
Yes.
Now, I know there's a reason for that most people don't know of, that you never have to pay overtime if you pay that service charge to your employees.
Well, that's a true statement because they are commissioned employees, but we do guarantee them $20 an hour. So if they work 40 hours or less, they have to make $20 an hour or we will supplement them. If they work overtime, we'll pay them $30 an hour.
So the government only says you only have to do 15.
I mean...
And they're paying, and without overtime, they can make $2. And with the service charges, as long as they're making 15, you never have to pay them overtime. I thought that's why you guys were doing it. But is it because there's a bunch of people that visit Boca and they just don't tip?
No, it's because we can just guarantee them a regular salary, basically. And that way, I mean, it's sometimes it's less than what people would give, and sometimes it's more. But it is hard for people to be told what to do with their money. So I do have a little pushback on that at the restaurant. But it's for, you know, they offer health insurance. Our company offers that and different things to part-time employees. So we get to use our money that way to, right. you know, supplement and make the employee's life a little bit better. So I think it's a good plan. It is very tricky, though, with customers because they're like, you know.
Every restaurant's telling me they're having the hardest time finding employees.
Well, I think that's an issue always in the industry, but I've been there probably, I don't know, 8 months, and I can tell you that 21 out of 26 of my servers have been there longer than I have. Well, but it's a good thing. But it's really, it's a commitment for me, though. I like to meet everybody where they are, see what's going on, figure out what they, you know, who they are, and then work with them. So it's a relationship situation. It's not just like, oh, I'm the boss, you're this, and we're doing that. You know, it's not like that.
So I know you're happy doing what you're doing, but what keeps you from not wanting to say, I'm going to do this for me again, and I'm not going to work for somebody else?
Oh, I don't know. I think the great thing about working for somebody else right now is I can't unown a place. So I'm always going to be an owner. You cannot not be an owner once you are an owner. So
I call that the fine line between dedication and stupidity.
Okay. Well, I mean, owning a restaurant is a big deal.
Nights,
it's
weekends, and holidays.
It's a lot.
Oh, right? Yeah. And it's not even really that much different for me now anyway because I, you know.
Yeah, you assume the ownership role without the benefits of being the owner.
Yeah, true.
Right? Yeah. So what's keeping you from doing this? Because you're amazing.
I mean, I could do it again, but I don't know if I would. I mean, it would have to be the right thing, I guess. I don't know what that would be, but, you know, things always unfold.
I used to work in an office building up in Danbury, and they had this little thing called Gracie's Mansion. I thought it was wonderful. And basically, breakfast, lunch, afternoon, they sold cookies and coffee. No nights, no weekends,
right.
No holidays.
That would be amazing, but I don't know if that's can you do it? I mean, do you think it would be enough? I mean,
it was a big building.
Yeah.
And it was far away from everything that you really didn't want to get out of your car to go somewhere else.
Okay. So they had like the corner market on it.
Nights, weekends, and holidays. No, done.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
Right?
But I don't know. I haven't found that yet. Well, you know, actually when I worked at the University of Oklahoma, it was basically a Monday through Friday job unless I had to work a football game, which was super fun too because you put this huge spread of food out and people would just come in and come out and then it's done. So
how does it feel? You're the manager. I'm sure you're doing really well, but some of your servers are rocking it, making a fortune.
Oh, they make way more than I do. Are
exactly.
you kidding me right now?
How does that
feel?
For
sure. You know what? I would never want to wait tables. I mean, when I have to wait a table, I'm so sorry and sad for the person who has to have me as a server.
Why?
Because I love to be like swooping in and talking to people, saving the day, but I don't like to. I'm afraid I'm going to spill something on somebody or something's going to, like, I'm not, I've been a chef. I don't have that much finesse. Like, I'm a little clumsy, I think.
I'd be afraid that I would purposely spill things on people.
Well, you know, maybe people might feel that way. I don't know.
Right? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so you're hiring. You're good.
Yes, I'm pretty good. I think I need a couple more servers, though.
Okay, so if somebody wants to call you at the restaurant and they want to work for you because you're amazing and they think you're awesome and they think that you're going to have some valuable lessons that they're not going to get anywhere else, how do they reach you at the restaurant?
They can walk in. They can email me. They can call the restaurant. Anything. If people walk in and they...
Okay, tell them where.
To Calaveras Cantina.
So in that's Boca low Raton- and where?
In Calaveras Cantina, Boca Raton, Meisner Park. So if they do walk in, I will definitely sit down and talk to them. I mean, it'd be rare if I didn't. I'm old school. I like to, if I see somebody, I want to talk to them. Mm. You know, that's it. I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, just leave it on the website and I'll talk to you later. No, I just like to.
Oh, no. I want preferential treatment. If somebody listens to this on the show or a podcast and they're mentioning that they heard you on the radio, you have to talk to them.
Oh, I will definitely talk to them. I definitely do that. My staff knows that. They're like, somebody's here at the front.
So is there a phone number there?
Oh, yes. It's 576-2132. I'm sorry.
561.
561. Oh, yes.
561.
576-2132.
Excellent. and they're going to ask for the general manager.
Yes.
And you're going to take their call.
Yes, of course I will.
That is so incredible. I'm going to tell your boss, you're amazing. I love the service. The waiters were incredible, and I can't thank you enough for coming in to talk to us.
Well, I thank you so much. Thanks for coming in the other night. It was great to meet you, too.
My pleasure.
Thank you. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
How would you like a cleaning service that listens to your wants and needs and genuinely cares for your home? MisoClean is a top-notch cleaning service. They will go through your home and create a specific list just for you on your wants and needs. MisoClean is fully insured and bonded. If you want a top-notch cleaning service to take care of your home, call MisoClean at 561-303-5743. That is 561-303-5743.
Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success. For more episodes, go on over to secrettomysuccess.com. That's secret, the number two, mysuccess.com.